Pray that you be Lord. Say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, now we have been speaking on topic race-based disparities. Okay. And we kind of knocked out the whole disparity concept in terms of how God views disparities as disparities is just part of our world, right? It's everywhere, our, you know, gender, income, shoe sizes, height, weight, income, house values, cars we drive, some people have. You know, man, I saw a Bentley the other day. I mean, it was so nice. And as I got closer to it, I just thought, that's another car. You know, I would pay that kind of money for it. Well, I doubt it, but who knows if I had that kind of money. But then they asked, who these? You know, it's like, it's just disparities all over the place. So what I want to do tonight is twofold. We want to go back and talk about this. I kind of ended with it last time. What do you think? Versus God. Group think versus God think. Okay. And what I want to do is put the emphasis on the race part of this phrase, race-based disparities. And in doing so, what we're doing, just keep in mind, I want everybody to stay in tune with where we're headed with this. And this is the search for community, right? Okay, there's more than one worldview. And the one we're most interested in is
God's
view of the world, right? We refer to that as a biblical worldview. We want to see the world as God sees it. Okay? Now, I've given you this sheet here. Okay? And it is woefully incomplete, I have to admit. I had, you know, it's one of those, my mind just had this great idea, and life and time said, you're not carrying it out. But I had started it already, so I'm using it. So I brought it anyway, because it's not going to deter from what we're going to accomplish. Okay, so just to give you an idea, and then I'm going to want your participation to some degree here. At the top, we've got God. That's what you got up top. Okay, you're going to put God up there, right? And what we're going to be looking at when we think about the groupthink, we want to see when we talk about God-think, how does God group things, right? Okay. How does God group things? And you're going to help me figure this out by, I'm going to give you all a task. Some people are going to help me out. It's just one verse, and then we'll kind of fill in the gaps as we go along. I need someone to get me Genesis 1:27. All right, just let me know who you are, and then, okay, not everybody run the Genesis, just one, because I got some others I want y'all to be. Okay, I got a sister here. Genesis 3:4. You gonna grab that too? I guess you say you
want to go 1, 2.
Which sister you were referring to? Oh. So 127 is
127 is yours.
Okay.
I'm 3 what?
3:4.
Okay.
Genesis, let's go back to 1. 24, 20, you got to listen carefully now, 24, 21, Genesis 1, 21, 24, 25, and 26. Okay, got this over here. All right, so we can keep going around. Genesis 3, 14, and 15. Gotcha, brother. Thank you. All right, let's go with that one. Now, let's give it to you there. Genesis 3. I'm sorry, Jeremiah. Well, let's go with Joshua. Joshua 24, 15 is closer to Genesis. Joshua 24, 15. You got that? All right. And we'll do one more. How about 1 John 3 and 10. All right, thank you, thank you. All right, okay. So what I want you to do is to read that verse and then tell me two groupings that you see from the verse or the passage. Two groupings. We want to classify the groups there. So let me know when you.
Genesis 127.
127. Okay. Okay. Let's start with the. Let's go over here. Let's just go in
our order. God created man in his own image. Uh-huh. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Okay. And so, what group was established in the creation there?
Male and female.
Male and female. Y'all see how this work is working? Okay. Male and female. Okay. So, there you would have, right, male, female. Awesome. All right. Okay. All right.
That next.
You're next.
All right. Genesis 3, 4 says, but this, correct me if this is not the right one. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Is that right?
3:14.
Or did you say 3:14?
3. I got 3:4, but it must have been 14. I'm trying to read that again.
And I'll read. Okay, so 3:4 was, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. And 3:14 is the Lord. God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go and dust.
That is not it either.
No. Well, I can get something out of it.
No. Go to 1:4. Maybe that was 1:4. Now that seems too far in the book anyway.
Okay, yeah, probably 1:4. Yeah. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness.
Yes, it was 1:4. Okay, all right.
3:4, what I got out of that was life and death. So maybe we got that one too.
Yeah, we got that one too. All right, yes, so, yes, all yes. Right.
But yeah, like,
you know what?
So 1:4.
Let's go with that.
Genesis 1:4?
Okay. Huh?
Or 1:4, right? Light and dark.
No, he said 3:4.
We're going to go light and dark. Okay. Light and darkness, right? Okay. Because I had that was actually one of my, groups. It just, I had another verse for it. And that was life, right? And death, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, we can do Genesis, and for that one, we can do 3:4, because it's pretty much one.
Yeah, we got one for three, for life and death. In fact, you remember, in Deuteronomy, what did he say? You know, Behold, I put before you what? Life and death, blessings and curses. And he asks you to do what? Choose life. Yes, right? So there's always that dichotomy, right? There's the binary, right? Life and death. Okay. Marnie, what do you have? Okay, that's okay. Get it and then we'll come back then.
Okay.
You got it?
So starting with 21.
Uh-huh.
So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then you said jump down to 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And I think the last one was 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.
Okay. So focus on the creation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two groups. He created what? In likeness.
I mean, some are like land animals and sea animals, but.
So don't think type, think likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Sea monsters and water things that, you know, the water is some of a miscon.
Okay.
Things that. Okay.
There was a phrase that, and I love the way she read it because she emphasized the phrase every time she said it.
Good.
Huh?
Good.
According to
and their kind, right? After their kind. But then in 26,
it was let us make mankind in our image.
And his image. He said, look, everything else in their kind, after their kind. Man, special. Okay. All right. So let's keep going. What do you have left? Okay. Let's go next. Let's keep it rolling. Yeah. Jimmy?
That was Genesis 3:14-15.
Yes.
Okay. Says, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.
Okay. So what two things do we have there?
Enmity between the man and the woman.
Is you close?
was.
When he says enmity between you.
Curses and blessings. Because, well,
okay.
The seed, but definitely the curse.
Does the what?
The seed.
What about the seed?
Of the man and of the, you know.
Okay.
When he says,
that's it. Right? Yeah.
The first seed.
The seed of the woman.
Seed
right?
of the serpent.
And the seed of the serpent.
Right.
Right? So two seeds. Seed of the woman, seed of the serpent. Okay.
You read through 15 or through 14?
You read through 15.
It was
14 and 15.
15, yeah. And it says you're between your offspring and her offspring.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next, you got.
It was Joshua 24,
15. Yes.
If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were behind or beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land where you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Okay. So we kind of have to generalize from here, but I think we kind of get it. Right. He gave you a choice.
Between serving the idols or the true God.
The true and living God or everything else. Mm-hmm. Idols. False gods. Idols. Right? Okay. Good. Do we have any more? I think we got one more. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, 1 John 3:10.
Okay.
In this the children of God are manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Children of God, children of the devil.
Children of God and children of the devil. Right? Okay. So now here are some others that you might want to fill in as we go along. The instructor in me says, I'm giving you homework and you can search the scriptures to justify these. I do have some, but I want you to, it's like I've got the key, but you gotta turn in the paper. Okay. So
are you saying that there's nothing in between you think here?
Between what?
Nothing in between these sides. I mean,
shouldn't we
like have something like bubbles down the middle, like in there?
Some gray area. Oh, that's a great question.
I mean, like light and darkness, there's
dusk.
There's dusk, right?
It's gray area, right? Well, yeah. Well, if we went back to Genesis, he says, and he separated the day from the night, but there was evening and morning, and you see. But so, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Ah, that's good. That's good. That's good. All right. So here we go. Here's some others you can fill in. And many of these you would agree with, just like saying, yeah, right? Heaven and hell, right? Now, are there some great things? Okay, all right. If we move over to the New Testament, we have, the chosen and those that are not, right? I mean, he chose you before the foundation of the world. That means chosen or not
chosen,
right? I'm giving you, I gave you the book, Ephesians. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talked about the spiritual man and the natural man. The new things and the old thing. In fact, and back in Ephesians, he talked about the old self and the new self. In Ephesians again, he talked about either being alive or dead.
And that's just one place, Ephesians, right? We also talked about, or should I say the Bible also talks about some other things. Man and wife, right back in Genesis, right? He said, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, right? And the two shall become one. And the two shall become one. Even in that same passage, father and mother, right? He shall leave his father and mother. So there's always the binary. Well, not always. Many times there's the binary when we're talking about God, right? Choosing this day whom you will serve. Here are your choices. I set before you life and death. Make a choice, right? You were once dead in your trespasses and sin, but God. Mm-hmm. you see?
Right. I'm also thinking of Jesus. These aren't opposites, but it's an asterisk. You have heard it said, but I say unto you.
Okay.
Not from the standpoint of what you heard was wrong, but your interpretation and understanding of that which is said is wrong and correct because of pride or sinfulness. But I say unto you, he's amplifying that, not a contrast. It's a contrast for our misunderstanding of scripture and what he, law and grace, things of that nature. But sometimes people look at that and say, okay, well, Jesus is wiping out everything that was said before. He's the ultimate authority, but it's clarification there. So it's not necessarily the opposites, but there's a contrast. There.
Yes. So if we have, right, God think, then basically you're saying there's right and there's wrong. And Jesus was saying, it's been said, but I say, right? In other words, let me lend the right interpretation, the spirit behind the principle rather than the details of the law, right? Mm-hmm. You also have, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say on those. You mentioned Jeremiah, and we don't have one thing from that, but there's some dialogue, I think, in Jeremiah where the Lord says, you say blah 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 blah, but I say. Yeah. So you kind of got that thing. I say versus you say. That's a good contrast.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we talk about righteousness and unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. Now get this: there are Jews and Gentiles, right? Okay, that's one you want to put in one of those circles for sure. Jews. And yes,
I know what you want to put in there. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. Mm-hmm. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's a big difference between being a child in Christ and mature in Christ.
Go, sister. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the study. That's right. And he even spoke about that in earlier in Corinthians as well, when he talked about the spiritual man and the natural man. And in he ended chapter 2 saying that, the natural man can't understand the things of the spirit because they're spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man discerns all things. And then he starts chapter 3 and say, but I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, as babes in Christ. Right? So in that same vein, he says, look, even within the spirit, there's the spiritual man and there's the natural man. You're either one or the other, right? But then over here, he says, look, either you're mature or you're an infant, right? I wanted to give you a strong meat, but like babes, I can only keep feeding you milk. Yeah, so that whole concept kind of goes throughout the scripture.
Another contrast is in Galatians 5:17. If you guys sit desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that they may not do the things that you please.
Oh, amen, brother. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, so here is the deal. Okay, now I want to emphasize here again, so y'all kind of have a list here, what we are going after, because I want to say we have what? Groupthink versus Godthink. Okay, I want you to notice that this was all in the context of race-based disparities, right? We understand that there are disparities. God has, in fact, created disparities. You know, the whole Bell curve says that nothing is going to be uniform. Few things are going to be uniform. Most things are going to be distributed in a way that they're either symmetrically distributed upon some central point, or they're going to be skewed left, skewed right, bimodal. There's all kinds of ways that people and things can be dispersed, if you will, right? And one of the things that we have to be careful of when we talked about those disparities was, how do we view them? Remember the two questions.
Why? What does God say?
And what does God think about? Right? So we're back to God think. What does God think about? Right? And so be careful of saying everything is a result of race. Now, why? Because when you say, yeah, I can't believe we're at the bottom, you know, and that's because I'm Black, or I'm an illegal alien, or, you know,
I'm a
Native American,
or
I'm a woman, right? Okay, or, you know, or I'm short, you know, you know, whatever it is. Okay, we got to be careful, because that's groupthink, right? He said, because I'm in this group, I'm suffering all these ills. See, that's groupthink. And why do we have to be careful of that? Because it tends to elevate the group above and beyond what God thinks of you. Right? If I say that I'm down and out because I'm short, Black, female, and with a disability, right? I'm putting all those things. Now, does God describe us in those manners?
No.
Right? Okay? He describes us in, and he describes lots of things that's related to life, and really only one or two things, right? Good and evil, heaven and hell, spiritual and natural, male and female, okay? Which is a gender representation, but we're going to talk about that too. Okay? Yes.
Can I just interject a question to the young people? Yes. do you guys hear at school the term, you know, binary? It's not binary. Or is that something that you hear about? It's not a binary. Is that something that, like, a buzzword that you hear a lot? Or
no?
No? Okay. Has anyone else heard that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to, whoever's heard about that? Because that, I hear that a lot. My wife hears that a lot in Ann Arbor. And I think a lot of people hear that in the workplace. It's kind of a buzzword. So, you know, because we were talking about, this is a binary diagram.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It has a left and a right.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Does someone want to comment on that?
No. Well, of course I do.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Because now let me just add before you do there. That's basically what Elder Watkins was asking before. You know, is there nothing?
Yeah, I wanted to just bring up the binary, because culturally, okay, that's been around for at least 5 years.
Yes.
And I remember when I was younger, we never had a like a fight to pick with binary. We just sort of were okay with the, you know, the left and the right and the up and the down and the male and the female. It just, we never really thought that there was a problem with that.
Yeah.
And now it's, that's binary thinking. You, oh, you're thinking in black and white, you know, and then the idea is we need to be a little more fluid, a little bit more quote unquote non-binary.
Yeah. 50 shades of gray.
Yeah.
Okay.
And binary, I think, is like a, isn't a math term or code term, like a on-off or something like that? I think that I'd have to look it up, but I think it has some sort of coding type term for binary numbers.
It has computer programming.
Yeah.
Zeros and ones.
Yeah,
zeros and ones.
Yeah,
ones.
Yeah.
Zeros.
Yeah, it's, just,
so
it's a zero or one. It's a switch, on or off.
Yeah. Basically, yes.
Yeah, so it's interesting you mentioned that this morning. I was listening to, I've listened to it quite a few times, but it just struck home. Today is a sermon by Stephen Lawson called War on the Word. And he goes through and lists about five or six different concepts involving the D, letters involving D, but he goes to Genesis 3rd chapter when the serpent Satan has a conversation with Eve, and he bounces back to the Genesis, the 2nd chapter. And so one of the first D's is that of doubt, right? And what he said is the world system will have you think that your certainty is an act of pride and indifference because you're thinking in a binary way. The certainty in terms of the authority of scripture, right? And so that's why Satan says, has God said, and it was a way to trick Eve and ultimately Adam adding the question, the authority of God, right? So basically this idea is that the world would have us question the certainty and suggest that it's because of pride, and therefore we should not be so full of pride, and we should consider other possibilities. And so it's even more deceptive than the either or binary. It's to say the fact that you believe in a binary system, and if your belief is not in keeping with what we want to believe, we will acknowledge the binary system, but we flip it on its head and say, I don't agree with your right to be so certain. I don't agree with your right in terms of being or having opposite. Why can't we have the middle, right? And it gets, I can't remember what chapter it was, but it got to the point where Eve was saying, God said, if we touch the tree, that's not what the word of God said, right? And this idea of you can
smell it,
you know, right? You can eat from all the trees except for this one. And Satan said, let's talk about that one you can't. Isn't that wrong? Isn't that deceitful? Isn't that despicable that you can not have that one? So there's an interesting dynamic there because it gets to the authority of scripture and what truth with a capital T is. And then we get, as believers, this knock that says we're indifferent, we're intolerable, we need to tolerate. That gets away from the binary. Because the tolerate is, well, I believe what I believe, you believe what you believe, and I guess you're the tiebreaker because I got no say so.
Yeah. So what we're talking about here is right in here, right? Okay, right. You see this? And do you ever hear, even amongst Christians, this isn't just non-Christians. I mean, the whole thing is, you're so black and white, right? You know, and you know, we kind of ostracize people for having hard stances on the word because they said, you know, it's not so black and white, right? That's the binary. So when you're in here, right, isn't that the gray, right? It's black and white, the binary, but then this is the gray area.
Right.
The non-binary.
Okay. Well, yeah, is binary. It's like But sometimes they say, well, yeah, there's male and female, but, you know, ever since I was a child, I felt. You know? And I'm not discounting that experience, but I'm your experience isn't on trial. God's word is, right?
Right.
God's word is in the binary here, right? Mm-hmm. Now, and when you start living by your experience, you're moving in here. Great. You're saying, okay, God, I know what you said, but mm-hmm. this is what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so what puts us in this gray area? What is it that has us oftentimes moving in here, right? God and I, well, you don't have to serve God like that, right? Not him. Right? I know it's, you know, this depends on who you love. How can you deny? Because God is love.
Well, I'll say this for the Christians who either implicitly or explicitly buy into the gray area. Not knowing what the word of God says.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't mean to sound trite, but oftentimes it is what we hear, right? So give me a quick example. What type of fruit did Adam and Eve eat in the Garden of Eden? What type of fruit?
And many people will say apple.
People will say apple. That's not what the Bible says, right? The Bible doesn't say apple. But what's that based on? Milton's, John Milton's Paradise Lost. He used a symbol of an apple to represent that. See, that's subtle, but if it's something like that, then you can see the diminishing, the downward spiral that
Spurgeon.
Charles Spurgeon talking about
the downgrade.
The downgrade, right? You start to. So part of it is we don't necessarily know what God's word says because we don't study. But the other thing is perhaps we don't really believe it.
Mm.
Now I'm talking about believers now.
Okay, yeah. Now that's what I really want to emphasize is remember we're talking about a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only talking to Christians right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not expecting the unbeliever to have a biblical worldview. That's an unrealistic expectation.
Mm-hmm.
That's
totally.
Mm-hmm.
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 Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So why they are in this area, we know why.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of it is why the Christians are in that area too. That's the trouble. It is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes, if I have to justify my sin, I can't be binary. I've got to delve in this area if I'm going to live the life I want to live. Right. Okay. So remember, it's group think versus God think. So when we talk about race, feminism, whatever it is that puts you in here, I expect the world to think like this. Right? That doesn't shock me. It's when we in the church are up here. It's when we in the church are in here. Okay. So, yes, is there a gray area? Yes. But who created it? Remember what Jesus said when they asked him about, you know, is it permissible for a man to put away his wife? And he said, what? Right? What did he say?
In the beginning it wasn't so.
Because of the hardness of your heart. Because I know man, and y'all were clowning anyway, right? You know, so it's, you know, I allowed it. I never sanctioned it. I never, you know, authorized it. but it's because you all are in this gray area, right? I never created, right? It was man and his wife, and the two shall become one. Mm-hmm. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. You see, that was binary, right? And so it was because of sin. Right? So that same thing, that's good, that's good. All right. Now, remember, we're talking about God thing. So remember, I always want to go back. Remember, we're talking about race, because when we say race-based disparities, and why that's a problem if we're going to have a biblical worldview. And it's because God never describes us based on race. He never did. He described us in several different ways. In fact, there were binary groups, right? He described us, right? Now, I mean, not that this is binary in terms of the description, but for the most part, when he described us, he dealt with our condition. That's one of the first things, our condition. Another one was our position. And in fact, it was first the position, right? You're saved or not saved, right? You've been justified or you haven't been justified, right? You're alive or you're dead, okay? Right? All of these things, you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You see, he addressed us based upon our position, and that was binary, right? In the middle, you know, purgatory, and you know, I'm sort of saved. You know, no.
Card carrying number.
You in or you out? You're a saint or an ain't, right?
That reminds me of some other binary things that speak about this, these disparities. For instance, sheep and goats, wheat and tares. The wheat and the chaff, right? Mm-hmm. The chaff, right? So there is a dividing or a separating of that. Yes. And there is no blending of the two where there's mistaken identity between the two. Mm-hmm. There is no in between, right? Mm-hmm. So God demonstrates to us that there is not only a difference between those, but there is a consequence that follows as a result of that difference. And that for me, it points to this idea of, are there disparities in heaven? Will there be disparities in heaven?
That's good.
And if so, what makes us think that there would not be disparities here on earth where it's imperfect, right?
Yeah. So answering that question,
that just came to me. If there's disparities in heaven, and we know scripture point, I mean, what is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 3:12 through 15 is one of many verses or passages that talks about the disparities that you will see. And it's based upon how you build, what you build, right? What materials you use to build, right? Mm-hmm. What you do or don't do is going to, you know, it's going to determine what you have in heaven. Now, it says now he may get to heaven, but he will smell like smoke, right? Right. But the smell of smoke will be, he will get eternal life, but rewards in heaven, there's a difference with that, right? Mm-hmm. So there are disparities.
Yes.
And what you do here on this earth in this temporal is going to reign for all eternity in the life after. So it does matter what you do, and there will be disparities.
Absolutely. So we talk about our position. God talks about it. He addresses us based upon that. Then there's the condition, right? So if our position is secure, he doesn't stop talking. You know, okay, you say it now. He don't stop classifying. Yeah, I'm going to classify you spiritual or you're natural. Mm-hmm. You're mature, you're an infant. Mm-hmm. You're You're grown in Christ or you're a babe in Christ.
Old man, new man.
Old man, new man. As the preacher read, the preacher, I like that. The preacher read, right? Following the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit, right? Because they're at war with one another. How are you dealing with that? Are you exhibiting man, display of the old man or the new man, right? The fruit of the spirit or the deeds of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he talks about the condition. But then when he does talk about our personhood, what does he say? Jew or Gentile, which is in essence a statement of position.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you are either Jew or a Gentile.
It
can look at it as conditional.
Yeah, but some people look at that as race as well, though. I don't know that.
A Jew is not a race. And a Gentile, see, those are classifications, number one. For example, when he said Gentile, that was a classification of anything that wasn't Jew. So that could be Greek, Roman, Italian, Caribbean, Asian, etc.
Are those not racist?
Caribbean is
like
a race.
Italian?
No. Race is often defined, which is why
ethnicity and race are not.
Yeah, ethnicity and race. Right. So when you say, West Indies, is that a race? Well, I mean, there's several West Indian, countries, Jamaica, Haiti.
There's one race, the human race.
Right? There's one race.
The human race.
The human race.
Procreation is
now,
the proof of it.
And here's the deal. Now, I want you to, watch this. We're called what? Black. What's another name for that? That's kind of African-American. You know what's interesting? One of my clients happens to be one of my colleagues at work. He's Egyptian. He's from Egypt. He's not black, but he's from Africa. Why isn't he called an African-American? Kind of let you go,
And he's not calling Egyptian American.
But you see what I'm saying? They tried, so the thought was, I'm going to tie you to what is in essence your native land, which is why they look at as Italian maybe as a race. It's not a race, they're just tying you, they're referencing where you're from. So if he is from Africa, that is now an American, why is he never referred to as an African American? You see? So that is kind of problematic. That's because, you see, that's in that gray area, right? God never spoke of us in terms of black and white and even Asian, right? Because Asian is like a general region. It's Asian, Korean, Japanese, Chinese, you see what I'm saying?
I guess we're just like, maybe we need to define what is race. And when we talk about race, even though we said there's only one race, the human race, we understand that we can define it biblically, but how do we define it in our culture? Like, how do you? When we think of race,
I can interject something that might kind of be a paradigm shift, but I want Aiden to go ahead first. Because can I take a crack at that first or in a second? Aiden, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
One misconception that a lot of people get is that people use words too loosely and they start to not have a meaning. Because African American, there can be people that just because their melanin content is just darker than most people, they get to be called African American despite having ancestors that were never in Africa at
mm-hmm.
any time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their ancestors could all be Cuban or something. And they get to be called African American even though they were never African.
I agree with you.
Yes.
So
something that I think might be another layer that I think is helpful is this non-binary, I think, and this is kind of going deeper, but if you stay with me, this non-binary, I think, is caught up in this sort of spiritualism in this world, which cuts against Christianity, that goes into this idea of, you know, it's a sin to be peculiar, as Pastor is saying, or the sin of particularity. And so it's this idea that, you know, one human race, but not in a, yeah, you know, we're all going to kind of converge into this mystical experience with God. And it's as if God doesn't have a particular history, right? And he doesn't see creation as a particular, you know, what, where, when, how, why. I mean, Christianity is a historical religion, and our Savior is a particular Jew, right? Mm-hmm. And this is very offensive to people. It's and churches are particular churches in particular countries at particular times from different cultural backgrounds. And that's who these people are. And I don't think you ever lose that in some sense. I mean, that's how we're born and made. And sort of Eastern religions are kind of like, forget all that, you want to be nirvana and one with, and I don't think Christianity teaches that at all. I think it teaches redemption of all the tribes. And he talks about this tribe I'll save, and that other tribe, which is different from you. Yes, you are a different tribe, but I'll also save that tribe. So we maintain our tribe differences, our cultural differences, our historical differences, our peculiarities are maintained, and in redemption, those peculiarities are not whitewashed or forgotten or whatever you want to say. They're maintained and redeemed while maintaining them. So I just wanted to interject that. And people would say that is sinful to hold on to those things. You want to let those things go, but I don't think that is nothing Christianity. You don't have to let go of any of that. You know, so do I need to let go of my whiteness, and do you need to let go of your blackness for us to come to some sort of agreement on what salvation is? I mean, is that what Scripture teaches? I haven't read that. So any thoughts on that? I mean, that's another layer I wanted to interject.
As we use terms, we have to define those, and you have to say, what is whiteness? What is blackness? Right?
Yeah.
What is blackness and what is whiteness?
But it is a thing that you see. It is a pigment. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, you understand what I'm saying. Like, if you were to tell me, no, you can't even see a difference in the pigment because that's a binary, you know. Pastor Williamson said when I was walking down the aisle, he grabbed me and he said that the only difference between you and me is that I have more melanin in my skin than you do. And that's how he described it, just simply. But he also is from, you know, he's from the South and I'm from the North. So do we have to just forget that, and he has to forget his culture? You see what I'm saying? We're always going to have those differences, and that's good. It goes into this idea of, you know, the gospel is not about, like, essentially uniformity. It's about unity, and there's a difference between those two.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about race, though. How do you define race?
I mean, it's not really anything to define. Because when people bring up, like, the idea of being white, you know, what they're actually saying is that their ancestors were slave owners. That is, like, one of the biggest definitions that people have for a white person. And that's not even always the case.
Now, let me ask you, okay, over here, if you're concerned about the dismantling of race, so what is the issue in your mind?
No, I mean, I guess went back to when we were saying Jews and Gentiles, and I know Gentiles is kind of an overarching group of, like, people, and we were saying that that's not race, that's a religion. That's always been kind of a thing for me, because, like, Jewish people, I almost feel like, yes, they would agree that it's a religion, but they probably would also say it was a race. But then it got me thinking, well, what is a race? So it's more of a question, not a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with Hootie Bach, who says race is a social construct.
It is very much.
That's, I was going to say, I think mm-hmm. some of that is man-made.
Just there you
it's
go.
Definitely man-made.
It's because
when God pulled Abraham out, he looked just like the people that he was with.
Well, yeah, because they were all they were one family.
Yeah,
they're Babylonians.
They had the same color, the same skin color. They were all that same group. Mm-hmm. And so he pulled them out. He pulled them out. And he made a new people out of him. It had nothing to do with a skin tone. It had everything to do with a setting apart of belief in Christ.
You're chosen.
So it was, yes.
Or not chosen.
And so,
right.
And I think even just speaking to what Aiden, because that really kind of helps out too. What Aiden was saying is that when we say somebody's white, we just think of kind of like, a slave owner, ancestors from slave owners or evil or something. And I don't mean any harm when I say that, you know what I'm saying? I just think that that's the stuff we conjure up in our heads. Like, and when we see somebody with melanin in our skin, we don't care. We're not asking where did you come from or whatever. They're African-American. We make that great assumption where they may not be, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, and then like speaking with what Tim said, it's like, sometimes I think when we say white, we don't want them to have a culture. If they, you know, I was listening to one podcast where this guy asks the other guy, and he's talking to him. This black guy says, "Tell me, what do you like about being white?" It's a setup question. It wasn't set up. It was like the minute he would say something, it's like, "Oh, that's privilege." But then he could talk about what it is that he likes about being black. "I like my black culture. What about you?" And this poor man is like, he's cornered. He doesn't know what to say there. And so, you know, I just think that we do. I want to keep my culture, and I want everybody to be able to keep their culture, but I don't want our culture to supersede God's righteousness.
Okay. I hear you driving it, Smith, and I want you to, I want you to drive it. I mean, this maybe this goes to part two, because I feel like you're trying to make a point. I want to get your point.
Yes.
It seems the point you're trying to make is that race is artificial, right? That's the point you're trying to make. I don't know. Is that right? And I just want to be clear about what you're trying to teach.
Oh, let me go there.
Okay.
Let me get there.
All right.
Right? Because that is part of it, is, and I kind of stated it, right? I agree with Bonnie Bacher. Race is a social construct, right? Remember, groupthink versus God thing. And that's why I started off with that binary thing. He made male and female, right? And when you, and I intentionally put in Jews and Gentiles, right? So going back to what Lucille said, what was it about the Jews that made them Jews? It wasn't their culture, it was their chosenness. They were just chosen to be Jews. They weren't born
for particular reasons.
Nope. Right? Mm-hmm. God made them Jews. We didn't define them as Jews. Man didn't define them as Jews. And I want you to think about that. And here's where I'm going, brother. All right? You see, when we focus on race, we're buying into the world.
Right.
That's groupthink. That's groupthink. When we think we're so oppressed because we're black, that's groupthink. God says, "I don't care about your blackness anymore, and I care about their whiteness. I care about their condition. You're in or you're out. Saved or unsaved. Child of God or child of the devil. Right? Spiritual or natural. Redeemed or not redeemed, righteous or unrighteous, justified or not justified. And I care about your condition, or position first, and then condition, right? You're walking in the spirit or you're walking in the flesh. you see what I'm saying? Those are the things I care about. Your race is not it, because I didn't define you by race. I never have. Right? So even with Jews and Gentiles, he says, look, I chose people to be Jews. They were all one. When he created the human race, there was Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had some children. They're all related still. Then they had children. They're all related, right? So until the world got populated enough to reach that, that's it. No incest. Right? But what happened? Now watch this. How did you become here? There was even that was defined not culturally, it was defined externally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that made the binding. He said, look, right?
Outwardly, though, only outwardly.
Outwardly.
Outwardly only.
Outwardly only.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. See, outwardly only.
See that's it there, because in my mind, whatever race is, however you define it, all these groupthinks by their very nature are meant to exclude others. Now, it may be phrased in a different way. You know, Black pride, white pride, West Indian pride. It's exclusivity that's embedded in it. But salvation cuts across all those external racial cultural divides, because God doesn't say, oh, you're a Jew, go to Jewish heaven. You're African American, you can go to African American. You know, there wasn't, you know, Jesus died for the Jews, and then so-and-so died for Blacks, and so-and-so died for Italians, and, you know, wherever you're born, whatever category you're in, you can serve that, you know, adjective God, the God for Black, whatever. And that is what's so offensive to so many people, because what other religion says, I don't care where you're born, where you live, what you do, who you marry, what you eat, what you birth, where you go. I don't care about any of that. Do you or do you not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Because all the other is the groupthink masking the God thing.
Yes.
And so it's encouraging conversation to have, but ultimately, as Pastor Sirach says, what are you going to do with God? What are you going to go with? What are you going to do with this Jesus? Who do men say? Peter? Great. I've heard you say what other people who say I am. Fantastic. I'm going to bottom line it to you. I'm going to make it real personal, Peter. Who do you say I am? It doesn't matter what other people say. Who do you say I am? And so that exclusivity of the gospel is an offense, because it cuts across everything. And that gets to, it can't be that. That's an unfair God. I was born here. I didn't have this education or whatever. The gospel message cuts, and salvation cuts across all that. And why not? Because in Genesis, man and women were created. Boils down, God is the creator. We are the creatures, the created ones. Everything else is academic, cultural conversation, but bottom line, I don't care who you are, God is not going to say, oh, you are filling a blank, you'll get a pass on this one. And that's the problem, one of the problems the Jews had.
Yeah.
You can't share our God. This is God of the Jews. You can't be a part of this, Samaritans.
Yeah. And even with that, again, mention the Samaritans. See, that's what we hear in the grave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was man again.
The in-between.
Again, even this, when God even did this, it was a question of position. Right?
Mm.
Think about it, because the whole point of the gospel was to merge these and say you all have the same position. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right? Watch this. Galatians chapter 3. Let's get ready to close here. 3:26, because we were supposed to have time for questions and answers. But the discussion was good. And I gotta stop telling y'all what we were supposed to do, because every time I do that, I'm on another week.
I had three more scriptures.
This is easy stuff.
Yeah. It's not. Okay. Watch this. Galatians 3:26. All right. Watch this. For you are all sons of God. Remember, you're either a child of God or a child of God, right? Now he's talking to who?
Galatian Christians.
To Christians.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. He's talking to Christians, right? Mm-hmm. Not just Jews. He said, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Okay? So that's all Christians, right? There is neither Jew nor Greek. You see? He's saying, look, I define these based on position back in Genesis, right? He says, look, and what was the difference? The defining characteristic was circumcision. It wasn't melanin in the skin. It wasn't what region you came from. It wasn't, he says, look, you are a chosen people.
And that was an act of obedience, too.
Out of an act of obedience, on the eighth right? Day. Okay. So now he says there is neither Jew nor Greek. See, even that division is broken down now. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. He said, I'm going to even throw gender in there. Right?
Yeah.
Right? See, he said, look, stop the group think. God says, in my economy, in my eyes, there's neither one. It's about your position and your condition. Right?
Wow.
It's not about your race, your gender, your ethnicity, it's about your position and your condition. Okay, and he goes on, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He said, now you see this Jew and Gentile stuff, even that's out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. See, he's addressing that Jew and Gentile stuff, right? Mm-hmm. For you are Abraham's offspring. See, you weren't a Jew if you were back in the Old Testament, but now Christ has come. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get all the rights and privileges, right? You have been grafted in, he says in Romans, right?
Romans 5:18-19 is the verse.
Oh, my goodness. Go, brother. So he says, look, remember in Ephesians, he says that at one point we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel,
mm-hmm.
right? It's all that reference to you were a Gentile, which just meant you weren't of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about race or ethnicity. It was about position. Okay. Now, let's
part two.
Last one is Colossians. I love the way Colossians is going to really put this together. Colossians 3. 12-14. And so, because this really puts a lot of what we put together, the whole chapter, by the way, but here we go. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, you see, you're chosen, right? Holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another. Wrong one. I wanted to go 9-11. Because the 12-14 is actually should be our response. 9-11. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's condition. and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian. He said, look, if y'all want to get into regional distinctions, we can deal with that too. There's no barbarian, there's no Scythian, there's no slave, no free man, but Christ is all and in all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? He said, look, don't stay away from groupthink. Right? We're to be renewed in our minds, right?
Wow.
Okay? And it's real easy to be caught in with what the world is classifying as important, race, gender, etc. So when you put all that together, that whole concept of race-based disparities, that is not a thing of God, right? Because race, this is the first word, race, is an issue with God because it's a non-issue with God. You see what I'm saying? He doesn't make a distinction, right? And disparities, well, that's a natural thing, because where there is a disparity, there's a need. And God thrives on that because he wants to be the need provider, right? He's Jehovah Jireh.
He might even use you to bring about.
And if everything is equal, if everything is such that nobody has a need, think about where that leads us to.
Mm-hmm.
No need for God.
No. Or each other.
Tell me something.
Well, you get ahead for wrapping up. Maybe we take it offline, but I want to pick your brain some more, because I keep adding in my mind a qualifier. When you say God, in God's eyes, there's no race-based disparities. And I keep want to say, you know, in the kingdom of God, there's no, and I keep saying in the kingdom of God, but I also want to be sympathetic to people I've met that have a lot of, in the good sense, word problem, you know, a lot of honor associated with these distinctions. And I'm not hearing you validate those distinctions that they're very much holding on to. And I really want to see how we can hold on to those distinctions, but also say the kingdom of God doesn't look at race at the same time.
That's a great point, because you don't.
That's what I'm trying to get at about the historical religion. It would be like, and what in a deeper sense is that in a theological sense, the church has really created a problem in this. It's called like replacement theology, where they basically said that, you know, the Gentiles are the church. What the Jews basically did, now we're guilty of that, and we're saying, oh yeah, you know, it's the Gentiles. And Paul warns us about that, using, you know, and the kingdom of God has come. You know, Paul's talking about this, but he's also recognizing distinction that the covenant came through the natural branches.
Mm-hmm.
The history was through Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham still is our historical father in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a circumcised man while we were uncircumcised. And so he's maintaining those distinctions at the same time, saying there's, you know, neither of you. So it's a delicate thing. And I think we need to be very clear there.
And I appreciate you bringing that out, because I think it has to be said, because I don't want it to be misconstrued. And I hope that it's clear that we are acknowledging that there are disparities, and that those disparities are problematic for some, right? Okay, so I don't want to minimize it or to say God says there are no disparities. No, God says there are disparities. The poor will always be amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
We read in Deuteronomy 15 on how, in fact, he's so aware of it, he lays out how we are to deal with that war.
That's right.
Right?
We're supposed to actively participate in removing some of those disparities.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. Because remember that that's one of the purposes of disparities, is to create a need. Right? If we, right? In fact, we've all fallen short. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the biggest disparity of all, God's standard and our living.
Right. That's a,
There's a disparity there, right? And we needed something to fill that gap, and that was a person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, there are disparities, and some of them even could be motivated by race. So I'm not saying that there are no race-based disparities. Mm-hmm. And I may have said that, but it was erroneously said. I meant to say it from that standpoint. I'm saying, how should we think about those disparities? Group think. Mm-hmm. So how do we view those disparities from God's perspective? If we have a proper view from God on how to on how he sees those disparities, and what that should do is motivate us not to join the complaining of those disparities, but to take action on presenting some solutions to those disparities from a God perspective.
Can I also just say this to you, is that one of the things that I think of, even when you say, I cringe at some of the stuff of, okay, there's race-based disparities, and I know that there probably are. The problem that I have, even in saying that, I always want to be very careful, because we out of those disparities, sometimes we pull a motive out of there. We say, because there's this disparity with this group of people, we lump everything together. Like, okay, that disparity came from this other group who had bad, evil motives towards me. And so we lump everything together, and then we start to look at that other group as the oppressor, and we are the oppressed.
Yeah.
And so I cringe at that, because I cannot determine that everybody in that one group are oppressors, no more than I can determine in this group that I'm all oppressed.
Okay.
So it's an assumption that I don't like.
Hopefully we can conclude on that, because that was the whole point of tonight's study. Because when we are focused on us as a group, particularly as the oppressed, that means we're also focusing on another group. You see, everything stays in the group. It's group thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's group thing. It's
the other group.
It's just it's this group versus that group, mm-hmm, versus that group versus this group. That's the way the world thinks, right? Mm-hmm. And all I'm trying to present to us as Christians, I'm not trying to present this to the world. Right? Because these are spiritually discerned.
That's right.
The natural man can't discern. God says he is not concerned with race. Now, that doesn't mean he's not concerned with the black individual. He is. But what does God think about? What is his concern for that black individual? His position.
Mm-hmm.
And his condition. That's what he's ultimately concerned about, right? That's all that I'm trying to convey, is let's think like God thinks.
Yes.
But we gotta be in his word to do so.
Please.
Okay. It's with 20 over, yes. Last comment.
There's a quote actually that I was thinking about for a bit. It was on the topic of racism. Be thankful to the misconception that race is the father of racism, but race is the child of racism, not the father. And people process the name of maybe people, it has never been a matter of genealogy so much as one hierarchy. The difference in hue and hair is old, but the belief in preeminence of the human hair, the notion that these factors can correctly organize society and that they signify deep attributes, which are indelible, this is a new idea at the heart of these new people who have been brought up hopelessly, tragically, deceitfully, into their white. Or in other words, it is not so much the fact that there is differences in race, it's the fact that people believe that they actually determine things that brings up all these problems.
Well said.
Well said.
Yes.
Very well said.
Yes. All right. Anything?